Woo!
Yeah! Ah!
Yeah! What? Tonight!
We have too much show today. Do you know that?
I do.
Remember back in the day, you used to say too much show today.
Too much show.
Today, there is too much show.
Which
and
is
we
very
only have an hour and a half.
It's a huge contrast to what we had for 4 months, which was not enough show. Tonight, right here, 710 ESPN, the home of the Lakers. Lakers versus Clippers, first night of the NBA restart in the bubble.
I just saw
Anoko by. Utah's playing Zion in New Orleans tonight, and Zion is going to play. I just saw that go by, so that's the early game tonight. Lakers 49-14, best record in the West. 5.5 game lead over the Clippers. Clippers 44-20. They're 2.5 games up over Denver, currently at the 3 seed. And, John, this is what we've been waiting for.
And Mace, these first 3 Laker-Clipper games have all been great. And I keep hearing this, well, Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams aren't playing. Patrick Beverley might not play. Avery Bradley had 24 points the last time these teams played. He's not playing. None of that matters. When Kawhi and LeBron both play, these games are great. Great. And LeBron and Kawhi have been great in these 3 games. The Clippers won on opening night. The Clippers won again on Christmas. The Lakers won on the Sunday before the shutdown.
Yep.
And if the Lakers win tonight, Mace, it pretty much locks up the 1 seed. I think they're going to get the 1 seed regardless, but if they won tonight, they would be 6.5 up with 7 to go.
Yeah. I mean, they win tonight, it's over. It's basically over anyway. I mean, what's weird, John, is Kawhi, and I didn't realize this till I started reading today, played 76 minutes in the Clippers scrimmages, and he didn't play well.
Yeah, 25 in the first game, 30 in the first scrimmage, 30 in each of the last 2. LeBron only played an average of 25 minutes the first 2. He didn't play in the 3rd one at all.
AD only played 30 minutes the entire scrimmage season.
Yeah, 25.
The entire 3 of them.
I thought, but the interesting thing is, I don't think Kawhi stunk. He looked really rusty. I don't think any of that. He's not going to play bad against the Lakers. He never plays bad against the Lakers. I think Kawhi is going to be on tonight. The question is, does he have enough help?
So do you think Kawhi plays 35 minutes, sends a message to the Lakers in the league, or does Kawhi play limited minutes and they're saying, the seeding games are just a tune-up?
No, he's going to play at least 30 tonight. At least 30.
But is their attitude, we're going to send the league a message, or is their attitude, these are just seeding games?
It's hard to say. They are the ultimate we don't really care until it matters team.
Right.
They basically healthy scratched Kawhi 10 times. 10 times he was healthy and they scratched him. Because they know it works. He did it last year in Toronto.
Yep.
And then in the bubble, no team has had more people either arrive late or just leave the bubble than the Clippers. 7 different people. So they seem to be sending the message that we'll be ready when the playoffs start. And I actually believe this part of that theory, if that's what they're doing. I don't think it matters where they're seated. I think they're going to the Western Conference Finals if they're the 2 or if they're the 7. I don't think it matters. There is no home court, Mace.
Right.
So who's beating the Clippers in a 7-game series other than the Lakers?
Nobody.
Right.
Nobody. I mean, it really is. The championship, and I hear, who did, I think it was Wilbon just said he's taking Toronto to go to the finals. And there are a couple of people taking Toronto. But I would be shocked if the Lakers, the Clippers, or Milwaukee don't win the title.
Now, here's the hard one. If I gave you both LA teams, so you get the Lakers and the Clippers, or the field to win it all, who are you taking?
Oh. Well, the favorite, according to ESPN experts, was it the Clippers or Milwaukee to win the title?
Clippers.
The Clippers to win the title. I'd take the winner of the Lakers-Clippers series.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I can't wait. I'm glad we get real games. I'm glad that LeBron and Kawhi are both playing. Looks like Anthony Davis is going to play. The games matter. I think they're going to do monster numbers. I think a lot of fans have been waiting a long time for this. And the timing's perfect because last night's Dodger game was killer. It was super dramatic and really good. And now tonight we get the Lakers.
Now, let me ask you a question. We were on a guy named Javier's birthday Zoom call.
Yeah, he has a really cool mother-in-law, and she found a way to get us to call this guy on his birthday. So we were all Zooming with this guy during the Dodger game.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know what was going on. Carlo, our social media guy, sent me a link and said, click on this. Javier's having a birthday party. And I'm like, okay.
Well, wait a minute. You agreed to do it a week ago.
Did I agree to do it?
Your schedule is unbelievable.
Last
night we were off the air for, I'm not kidding, 15 seconds. And this guy from USA Today called me and goes, hey, I want to talk to you and Mason about this Joe Kelly thing. I called you. You didn't pick up. I texted you and emailed you. And then when I talked to you 2 hours later, I go, hey, did you connect with that guy? You go, I have no idea what you're talking about. Do you just completely unplug the second the show ends?
Pretty much. Pretty much, John.
Because there's nothing else I could have done.
There are no other options there. You've got text, you've got email, you've got phone.
I did them all.
But I'm really good at unplugging. And like after a show, I'm like, I hit the jacuzzi.
Were you late to that call too? Because I was really late to it.
Yeah, I was late to the call, but I was there for like a half hour before you got there.
Yeah, I stayed until the bottom of the 12th.
Yeah, I got to know everybody.
But the Dodgers won in 13 innings. That Dodger game was insane.
It was
great. And by the way, they got to find a way to get that Rios kid in the lineup.
He is fantastic, John. I was talking about him during spring training.
I know you were. Against right-handed pitchers, shouldn't he just be the DH?
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely mashed. I think we have his home run right here.
Sneed's 2-2. Rios turns on it. High drive to right field. It is gone! Edwin Rios with a two-run home run here in the 13th to put him in front 4-2. And he knew it. You saw it with that gorgeous follow-through. He knew that he had produced probably the biggest swing of his young big league career.
That's Joe Davis, Sportsnet LA on the call. And it was a really pretty swing.
Here's the interesting thing about Rios. There's a little bit of an Aaron Judge element going on here. Judge didn't pop until he was older. Edwin Rios is 26. They brought him up last year, and he had an OPS of over 1,000.
Yeah.
And then he just looks like he's ready.
Yeah, I mean, he hit 30 bombs at AAA last year, but he was only the 16th best prospect in the Dodgers organization after last season. So,
well, maybe there's a Muncy kind of thing going on that it's just his time.
Muncy, Taylor, I mean, all these guys have gotten started a little bit later in their careers. But, yeah, Rios is going to be a really, really good bat. And I would anticipate we're going to see him at DH against a lot of right-handers this year because he is a hitter. And, by the way, I love the way he savored that swing afterwards. He had that big swing, and there was that moment where he just sort of held it. He knew it was going out.
Is he an outfielder?
He's a third baseman, first baseman, and he can play left field.
Okay. So you could plug him in if you needed to give either Turner or Muncy a day off.
Yep.
Or, like you say, put him in left. But with the DH, he seems perfect.
He's perfect for the DH, yeah. By the way, Dennis Santana was really impressive last night. Went 2 1/3.
Yeah, no that guy hits, was no unbelievable.
Runs, got the win. And you know what's interesting, John, is neither of these guys would have made a 25-man roster. They would be in that group of 26 through 30, those extra guys that teams are carrying this year. And supposedly, at the end of the month, at the end of August, they're supposed to cut back down to 25 instead of expanding the roster.
I think they're going to waive that.
I think they have to. I think that. By the way, I think they're throwing all the rules out for all intents and purposes. I mean, now they're talking about weekend doubleheaders, seven-inning doubleheaders as soon as this weekend to try to make up some games.
Not only seven-inning doubleheaders, Mace. Seven innings on getaway nights. Last night would have been a seven-inning game.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I have no problem with. I think do what you got to do to get this in.
Me too. Do what you got to do. Absolutely right. Meanwhile, Phillies canceled all activities at their home park, including a weekend series with Toronto. John, a member of the coaching staff and a clubby tested positive. Remember, they had just had Miami in there over the weekend. And there's an incubation period for the virus. And so far, and we hope that's it, two members of the Phillies organization have turned up positive. Yeah, Dodgers, by the way, back at it tonight. Dodgers are in Arizona. It is Ross Stripling versus Robbie Ray. Timing should be timing, it's going to be both things at the same time, isn't it?
Tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be Lakers at 6, Dodgers at 6:40.
Tonight's a Laker night. You got to watch the Lakers.
A Lakers night.
A Laker night, and you can watch the replay on Sportsnet LA for the Dodgers. But the Dodgers, I think it's very significant after the Joe Kelly suspension that they were able to go into Houston and win both those games.
Agreed.
You know, that they got some. So we have some personal news. I you know, if you followed Mason and I over the years, you know we've been on every imaginable time slot. We've been on at night. We've been on in the morning. We've been on in the midday. We've been on in afternoon drive. There is not an hour of the day where Mason and I have not
covered
been on.
Them all.
And we're moving again.
Thank God.
On August 17th, we're going back to the part of the day where we had the most success in all our years, which is middays, but it's a little different than what we're doing now. We're going to be on, Mason and I are going to be on 1 to 4 as part of a new lineup that starts on August 17th.
And by the way, how great is this new lineup? We got a Keyshawn show in the morning. We got Mike Greenberg, who you and I both love from Get Up and has done radio forever, from 9 to 11. Then our friend Max Kellerman is back on the radio from 11 to 1 p.m. And then Mason in Ireland. And let's just tell the truth. We never wanted to move from middays, ever. And the moment we got to afternoon drive, we started lobbying for middays again.
Well, and the other thing was, people, for whatever reason, the Will Cain thing was not popular in Los Angeles. But we had no, not even our bosses in Los Angeles could stop it. That was a network decision. And when Will decided to leave ESPN, it gave us the window to go back to 1 to 4, and it gave Sedano a chance to go back the afternoon. LZ's going to go with him.
Yeah.
And we actually thought, you and I actually thought that we had something when we were on in middays and Sedano was on in the afternoon. And now we've got that back, and we'll be able to put our theory to a test if that was what we thought it was.
And we got a brand new night show, 7 to 10 p.m. on nights where there aren't Laker games. Scott Kaplan is going to be on the air. You heard him do middays for a couple of weeks here in the last month or so. And he must have passed his audition because he's going to be on 7 to 10. It all starts, by the way, 2 weeks from Monday, August the 17th.
Right.
Which is fortuitously timed, John, because the NBA playoffs are starting the same week.
Right, and then we hope the NFL is starting shortly thereafter. They still haven't postponed that opener, that September 13th opener. So
nope,
as of right now,
tough.
It could happen. I exchanged texts with JB Long today, and he's keeping his fingers crossed that that they're going to be able to, you know, start on time and have a season. But no word, no shutdown by the NFL yet. So we can remain optimistic about it. And like you've been saying for weeks, all the sports are coming back at once. The Dodger game was must-see TV last night. I couldn't turn it off. The Laker game is must-see TV tonight, and we'll have that game for you on the radio if you prefer to listen on the radio or if you're out driving around in your car. Sliwa, we're only on, Mason and I are only on today until 4:30. Sliwa is coming in with Michael to do pregame, and then Michael and I are going to take it over at 5:45, tip at 6 o'clock. And starting now, we'll have every Laker game until they're done on 710 ESPN. So all the sports are coming back at once. It's just
we're
going to
have them all the way, John, through the socially distanced parade.
Or as I would say, parade.
Parade. Great.
Yes.
Exactly. And we got Buster Olney's going to join us at 3:30 today. At 3:45, Lindsay's back. Hey, Lindsay, what are you doing?
I'm dealing with my little puppy.
Yeah, Lindsay's
got a pug.
Lindsay's got a new dog. Like Mike Trudell, she has a French pug, right? French bulldog?
Yep, he's a French bulldog pug mix.
Nice. And what's his name?
His name's Chewy. He's adorable. I'll post the picture on Twitter.
Okay,
he's
good.
Super cute, but he's crazy. So if you hear him like crying or whining in the background, sorry.
We embrace all dog noises on this show.
Yeah, and we've got coming up for you at 3:45, we're going to do some Radio Tinder. 4 o'clock, we're going to do Game of Games. And then 4:15, it'll be me, Sliwa, and Michael Thompson Do a little crosstalk.
Yeah, I'm actually
the Lakers pregame.
I'm actually after Game of Games going to get in my car and drive from Manhattan Beach to the studio. I should make it. I have an hour and a half. If the traffic is not bad, I should be there in half an hour. But we'll see. We'll see how long it takes.
Lindsay, Ireland has now won six games. You are at four.
You're the only one who can catch. You're the only one who can catch me, Lindsay.
Oh well, I will. I plan on it.
I finished with four. I blew one golden opportunity in the Game of Games while you were gone. And Funch has actually won three games. So we'll do Game of Games at 5 o'clock today. Busy day, great day. Thank you very much for being out there. We really appreciate you. We are excited for you to come and listen to us in our new time slot from 1 to 4, starting 2 weeks from Monday. And our whole new lineup starts on the same day. I'm really excited. It's going to be a great era for the station. And, of course, Lakers basketball is going to kick it off tonight. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We got us Lakers Clippers coming up, 4:30 pregame, and 6 o'clock is the tip right here on 710 ESPN. The long-awaited NBA restart. A lot of reaction, John, on Twitter to our lineup changes. Legend has it that this lineup shakeup was due to Mason being petty from losing the hot dog eating contest. And Sliwa telling management he will opt out if he isn't removed from the new lineup. I don't think that's really the case. Is the hot dog eating contest still on for August the 27th? People are definitely planning way, way, way ahead. Sliwa's still going to be here. He'll be doing Lakers pregame and postgame. You'll hear him do Lakers talk on Monday nights. And then also Travis Rogers, who I got questions about, is going to be here. He'll be joining the Keyshawn morning show with local stuff, which is cool. So everybody's still here. Everybody's still here, which is great. A lot of times you change the lineup and half the people are gone, John. Everybody's still here.
Yeah, they didn't
it's
have
a happy lineup.
They didn't have to fire anybody, which is rare in radio.
Yeah, it is.
But good.
Okay, so I want to throw something at you, John. We know the sanctity of the bubble.
Yeah,
I've talked about it. Lou Williams and Lemon Pepper Wings actually broke the sanctity of the bubble.
Yeah, your sanctity of the bubble is a joke. The guy left to go to a strip joint and get wings. But go ahead.
Okay, that's why he's quarantined for 10 days. All right,
14. So,
is he quarantined for 14 days?
Yeah, total. Yeah, he went
into
14 days.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I thought it was just 10.
Maybe. I'll look it up.
Okay, so during an appearance on the Athletics NBA Show podcast, NBA insider Marcus Thompson says that the lack of sex is becoming an issue for players due to the fact that girlfriends and wives aren't allowed inside the bubble until after the first round of the playoffs. According to Thompson, the players have figured out a workaround by bringing in hot massage therapists. Marcus Thompson says, quote, "From what I was told, people are already working around it. You can't have family now, but you can have a trainer or a massage therapist. So what I've been told is that there have been some pretty hot massage therapists come through. There's a couple of trainers who you know. There's a back door, is what I'm saying." So it may be that people are penetrating the bubble.
Mm-hmm. But, Mace, they've had zero positive tests.
But you want to keep it that way.
Right.
You can't have some hot massage therapist bring COVID in.
You're assuming that she has COVID. I would think that in order to get into that part of the bubble, that I don't know this for a fact, but my guess is any massage therapist would have to test negative and go to the quarantine hotel before she could get in.
So she's going to quarantine 4 days at the quarantine hotel
test
in order to come in and give a massage.
test negative and then quarantine and then go in.
Boy, that seems elaborate, man. That seems elaborate for a massage, quote unquote, therapist.
Yeah, people will go. People will jump through extraordinary hoops for sex.
Massage, quote unquote, therapist. By the way, the best part about the last couple of days with the Dodgers Astros, obviously, is that we swept them. No, it's actually not. It's what Joe Kelly did is the best thing that happened in the last couple of days. And, you know, there players have come out and pointed out, and I agree with this point, the eight-game suspension is extreme. And it's very rare to see a
Yeah, when
suspension.
Are we going to get a ruling on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they've had a hearing or not, or if that's held up in some way. You'd think it'd be a Zoom call. This was a suspension that came despite the fact that at no point was Joe Kelly thrown out of the game. At no point was he warned. At no point was the dugout warned.
Weren't they all nobody warned, was, weren't they all warned after the bench clearing brawl? Isn't that what Dusty got so mad about?
They were all warned after the inning. But why don't the umpires on the field, why don't they have say? In other words, if you think Joe Kelly buzzed Alex Bregman and it was a dangerous pitch, why doesn't the umpire jack Joe Kelly right then?
Well, because I think that the first thing you do before you throw a guy out is warn him. And they warned both benches after that bench clearing call.
Right, but they didn't warn Joe Kelly after he buzzed Alex Bregman. And so he went on to hit Yuri Gurriel and Carlos Correa.
Well, he didn't hit either one of them. Let me clear that up.
Oh, right. No, he didn't. They narrowly missed being hit.
Yeah,
with breaking balls.
Yeah, your position that he shouldn't have been suspended at all is strictly an L.A. position. If you listen to anybody nationally, they think that he should have been suspended. The length of the suspension is what's in question.
Yeah, what do I care about what people think nationally? I am in L.A.
Right, but I mean, I think you're looking at this through blue-colored glasses. I mean, he had to get suspended, and it's just a matter of how long you suspend him. Now, eight games is way too long. Way too long. Wilbon said today on PTI that he would have been okay if they would have suspended him 30 games.
Wilbon.
And I thought, and Kornheiser thought.
Wilbon. Stick to the NBA.
30 games. I'm like, what the hell? But my thought is that they should reduce it to four. Who was it yesterday that was on? Bob Nightingale thought they might reduce it to five. And then I started thinking about what you said. If they're trying to make a point, if they're trying to make an example out of them, they won't reduce it at all.
Right. And I think that's what Rob Manfred is playing catch up. He's trying to do what he didn't do with the Astros. He's disciplining us instead of them. And, you know, first of all, nobody was hit. Let's be clear about that. Joe Kelly wasn't jacked. He wasn't warned. Nobody was warned until players came off their benches. Dave Roberts suspended for some reason for a game, Joe Kelly for eight. So has anybody really forgotten what they did in 2017?
No.
This is such a minor infraction compared to stealing a world championship.
I think part of Rob Manfred's message is, look, we've done all we can do to the Astros. We granted them immunity to talk about this so we could get to the bottom of it. We got the manager's been fired. The GM has been fired. We're not letting it be open season on the Astros.
See, that's so his fault for grant. It's all on him for granting immunity.
I agree with you.
You could have done an investigation with people around the team and come away with, or say, you have limited immunity. You have limited immunity. Tell us everything, and we won't suspend you for a whole friggin' year. Tell us everything, and we won't suspend you for half a season. How about that? Limited immunity.
I think that when – and Buster's coming up next. We'll ask Buster. Let's bring that up with him, because I think what Buster will say is limited immunity wouldn't have gotten them the answers they want. Limited immunity would have – then they would have just shut up like the Red Sox did.
Yeah, I would say half a season – unless you tell us everything.
Well, no, I think there was a workaround here, Mace. You could have done something really punitive without suspending any players, and that is you just vacate the World Series. That's not punishing any player individually. And you know what? I'm not saying give it to the Dodgers or give it to anybody else. Just vacate it. And just say, you know what? They cheated. We're not going for that. There is no 2017 World Series winner.
The one thing, John, that came out of this week more than anything else, at least for me, is this will never, ever, ever go away. And when I hear those names, Altuve and Bregman and Correa and Springer and Evan Gattis, when I hear those names, even the lesser names that benefit, Josh Reddick.
Yeah.
I mean, the level of disgust and the level of rage and the level of pain will never, ever go away, ever.
Well, I think that not having fans is actually covering up the fact that I don't think any of these guys are, like, do you know how many home runs Alex Bregman hit last year?
Not off the top of my head.
46. All right. He almost won the MVP. Cody Bellinger won the American or the National League MVP. And did Trout get the American League MVP?
Yes, it was Trout last year.
Okay. So Alex Bregman had a monster year by any standard. I would venture to say, I'm curious if you agree, I don't think Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, or George Springer will ever be voted into an All-Star game again.
Well,
they'll be named by managers, like they can be backups.
Yeah, named by managers.
But I think the fans, there's such a stain on these guys that fans
will never
elect
them. Fans won't vote for him.
Correct.
Yeah, you may be right. You may be right.
I don't think any of them get into the Hall of Fame. If they have a Hall of Fame career, I don't think they get in. Verlander will get in because most of his stuff was before last year. But other than him, I don't think anybody on that team gets in. And to your point, I don't think anybody ever forgets what they did. I think the first thing you think of when you see those guys come to the plate is, oh, there's one of the cheaters.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, a lack of integrity is impossible to forgive. And there is no integrity in that Houston locker room.
Well,
and
you know,
that's why Joe Kelly is a folk hero right now.
Yeah, these are things that we will discuss with Buster Olney, who will join us next.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so we mentioned this yesterday. Lakers-Clippers coming up for you. 6 o'clock is the tip here on 710 ESPN. The line has changed again, John.
Oh, really? Okay, so let me think. The only way it could change would be, we still don't know if Beverly's going to play, but we know for sure that Harrell and Lou Williams are out. And yesterday I guessed Lakers by 3.5, and I was off by a point, right? Didn't you say it was 4.5?
Yep.
And you say it's moved.
Yep, just a nudge.
Okay. Lakers by 5.5.
It's Lakers by 5.
Oh,
yeah, Lakers by five.
That is a nudge.
That is a nudge. That is a nudge. But a line change nonetheless, and I caught it at 4.5 with 5,000 mythical dollars. The line on the other game, by the way, you want to take a shot at that? Utah-New Orleans?
All right, they said Zion's going to play, so that would tip it. If I had to guess, I would say New Orleans by 1.
Pelicans by 3. Pelicans by 3 in the first game tonight, which should be a great game, too. Zion Williamson, again, expected to play tonight.
They need it more than Utah.
Yeah,
so
true.
That's why I would hedge towards them, but 3 is fine.
And by the way, Buster Olney, we'll get him in a second here. John Morant made a statement today, and I think we actually have that. John Morant
was on the jump.
On the jump today, was talking about the fact that he thinks Memphis, his team, has been punished here in this restart in the seeding games. We'll hold that because joining us right now is ESPN's Buster Olney. Buster, thanks for coming on. How are you, man?
I'm hanging in there, guys. Every day your head just spins with all the changes and the shifts and the schedule alterations and the rules alterations. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, and Buster, we thank you for coming on with us because I know that you're married to a computer these days and working right through all this stuff. Let's start with Joe Kelly. Mason, of course, thinks Joe Kelly shouldn't have been suspended at all.
Not at all.
I think that it's ridiculous not to suspend him, Buster. You've got to give him something. But I did think that suspension was extreme. I thought 8 games which would stretch out, if we were playing a real season, to over 20 games, was too harsh. What did you think about the Kelly suspension?
That it absolutely does not square with precedent in terms of how these things are handled. My God, he wasn't even warned, you know,
correct,
during the course of the inning. But I will also say, I think when we look back over this whole sign-stealing stuff, the biggest mistake, without a doubt, was the fact that Rob Manfred, back in 2017, when the Yankees and Red Sox had their Apple Watch situation pop up, he slapped the wrist of the Red Sox. He should have absolutely come down with a disciplined hammer, ignored precedent, and sent a message to everybody, look, this will not happen again, and we need to stop this. And because he didn't do that, I think in that vacuum, you had the Astros situation, Red Sox situation, 2018, teams continuing to try to find a way to steal signs. So I think this is absolutely, by Chris Young, who's the head of discipline for baseball, making a recommendation to Rob Manfred, this is their effort to alter behavior in a way
right.
that they probably should have back in 2017.
So, Buster, here's my case for no discipline, and see what you think. And you mentioned part of it. Joe Kelly was not warned. Joe Kelly, the Dodgers dugout, wasn't warned. Joe Kelly didn't actually hit anybody. And he's known to be wild in the strike zone, wild around the strike zone. His contention is that first pitch got away, whether you believe that or not. But let the umpires on the field settle. I mean, eject Joe Kelly if you think he should be ejected. Warn him if you think he should be warned. Instead, they did nothing.
No, and I was the idiot on television, having seen the precedent through the years. When they asked me what's going to happen to Joe Kelly, I said, well, I think that they're not going to do that much because the umpires in the field didn't do anything. And look, as I was watching that play out, what I believe happened, and only Joe knows for sure, you know, he's going to give us the standard line of, you know, the ball just got away, I was just trying to make pitches, blah, blah, blah. you know, what I believe happened is that once he got to 3-0 count with Bregman, it's like the light switch went on. And he decided he was going to send a message with that fastball, the backstop. And then when Bregman got to first base, he has these repeated pickoffs that leave you wonder whether or not he was trying to hit him there. I tend to believe that, you know, that one slider he threw to Correa, he wouldn't have minded if he had hit Correa in that situation. Look, I've covered pitchers, you know, on the Yankees. Andy Pettit hated retaliation, did not like getting involved with it, would get criticized by teammates for not getting involved with it. He just didn't enjoy it. Joe Kelly is on the other end of the spectrum. Like, Joe has no problem, you know, in his eyes, backing teammates, and on top of that, maybe having the folks in the other dugout think he's a little crazy.
And by the way, despite the suspension, needless to say, Buster, Joe Kelly is a folk hero in Los Angeles right now.
Oh, yeah. I think around baseball. I got it. You know, I was getting texts. You know, folks around the game during the winter, when Rob came out and said that, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, all right, I don't remember his exact words, that he was not going to stand for teams taking shots at the Astros, people with other teams were livid about that. They felt that, you know, that it was inappropriate, that the Astros had made their own bed and they should be subject to the same response that, you know, all players have had through the years. And on top of that, they felt like it would become a competitive advantage for the Astros if they knew they were going to be protected in a way that other teams weren't. And so last night, after Joe Kelly, you know, was suspended, I was getting texts from people and talking to people who basically were saying, that's ridiculous. Why is anybody feeling sorry for the Astros? They made their bed. I think that's how a lot of players felt. But I think baseball felt like they didn't want to have a situation for over the 60 games. Every game we're wondering, you know, if an Astros is going to wind up lying in a pool of blood on the, in the batter's box.
We're talking to Buster Olney from ESPN. Buster, the Marlins situation is really interesting. Nobody, not one player from the other 29 teams tested positive. I think the Marlins are up to 18 positive tests now. I know the reporting on this story changes almost hourly. But best you can tell, does anyone know how the Marlins got this outbreak?
There are, and Major League Baseball is investigating that. And I've heard a couple theories. I have not confirmed, and it wouldn't be fair of me to tell you the theories. But I think MLB is digging into it. And I, you know, in a couple of cases, if it, what turns out to be alleged is true, I think you're going to see some people get disciplined. Because, you know, all along, at the beginning of this, at the beginning of the summer camp, I remember talking with a baseball executive who said, you know, we're only as good as our weakest link.
Yeah.
And the Marlins were viewed as a candidate to be the weakest link because they were a group of young players. You know, you didn't have a lot of veterans. And as this has gone on, you know, at the outset of this, people around the sport were really concerned. They were like, boy, this is Swiss cheese. We're not going to be able to work through this. And then the last couple weeks, people are like, we're getting this. A lot of players are sacrificing. This is great. So now, especially with these stories that, again, I haven't confirmed circulating, there's outright rage in the sport at the Marlins where they feel like, great, bunch of idiots created this major complication for the rest of us. Thanks a lot. And I do think there's some determination among teams like, hey, we're in this. We've already made sacrifices. We're all prepared with families to do this for 2 months. Let's make this happen.
Buster, if they were reckless, just assume that some of those stories are true.
Word.
They're reckless and threatened the entire thing. They are, as you mentioned, a young team. There are no real superstars on that team. Couldn't they kneecap the Marlins and drop them from the season? I mean, that's what happened in the MLS's back tournament. A couple of franchises had outbreaks, and they dropped out of the tournament. Couldn't MLB do the same with the Marlins?
I think it's possible. Look, the one thing I've said all along, you know, as we look at what's going on, you got to really think of it like that backyard wiffle ball game you played, where you're making up rules as you go. And my growing up on the farm, if you hit the, you know, you hit it up onto the barn roof, it was a home run. If you hit the tin, it was a double. That's kind of what baseball is right now, right? I mean, we got the new playoff format 2 hours before the first pitch. We're now hearing about the strong likelihood that they're going to have seven-inning doubleheaders. The schedule is not going to be fair and balanced. There are going to be teams that are not going to get to 60 games. And if we get into this, to answer your question, if we get into this and the Marlins continually have players testing positive and there's a concern about the incubation period, yeah, I think they would bypass them. And they would basically move along. I'm sure if they got to a spot where they could field the team, they would resume the schedule and put them back out on the team. But I think they're fully prepared to make all the adjustments that they need to make, and that includes having some teams play far fewer games than others.
Buster Olney with us from ESPN. Buster, when we had you on a couple of weeks ago, you thought there was a decent chance baseball would start. It did, but you were very skeptical about whether or not they would finish. In your own head, what percentage chance do you give baseball to crown a champion this year?
40 to 50%.
That's good.
I think that the chances are improving because of how the teams are digging in. I'll give you an example of that, and you guys heard about, you know, the response to what happened with the Marlins and the Phillies last weekend. It really revealed some holes in the thing, and Jeff Passan, our colleague at ESPN, reported last night that they're going to essentially have the hall safety monitor assigned to every team.
Wow.
To make sure everybody follows the rules. But before that, you know, we were on a Zoom call last week with Craig Counsell, the manager of the Brewers, and he acknowledged that, yes, there's a health and safety protocol for Major League Baseball, but then the Brewers created their own additional protocol, and they got all the families on a Zoom call, and they explained, okay, here's what's got to happen. We need you to stay here, to not go there, to observe this, to do this. And there are a lot of that sort of mentality happening around baseball. The lack of uniformity concerns, I think it should concern all of us. You know, some teams are scrambling, for example, to develop their own testing systems, but it does feel like at the team level, by and large, there's some real leadership emerging to make it happen. You know, I've heard great stories, for example, about Zach Britton of the Yankees, working with the front office and with Major League Baseball to make the schedule work for that team. A lot of that type of stuff happening.
Last thing for you, Buster. I have become disenchanted with Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. And it goes back to 2017. It goes back to what you talked about, not cracking down on the Apple Watches and the investigation and all that stuff. So is there going to be, and I've heard you talk about this, at some point just a regular availability for Rob Manfred to take questions, not on his own network, but from a real reporters about the state of things in Major League Baseball?
Apparently not. And I, you know, not only do I think it's not good in terms of not having somebody visibly at the steering wheel for the sport to, you know, to make staffers and to make players who are doing these things and making sacrifices to make this happen, I don't know why he wouldn't do it. I think it would be good politically for him to do it.
Yeah.
Where he would, you know, on a daily basis or every other day, get on a Zoom call or after the Marlins thing, you know, get on a call and say, okay, here's what happened. Here's what we're going to do with this, and here are the adjustments to make it better as we go forward. The idea that Don Mattingly was left hanging out there for more than 24 hours as the voice of COVID for baseball was ridiculous.
Yep.
It was embarrassing. And I not only put it on Rob, but I also put it on Tony Clark, head of the Player Association, because those two guys are the leaders of this sport. They're trying to, you know, pull off a really difficult task, and I think everybody gets that. I don't think everybody would go jump on there just to hammer Rob. You know, he can't control the coronavirus and some of the spikes. But I've been absolutely stunned that that public steering wheel has been left empty to the degree that it has. Some of the statements that Major League Baseball has put out regarding some of this information doesn't even have a name on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Buster, this was incredibly helpful. Thank you for doing it. We know how crazy it is for you these days. So thank you for making time for us.
Always love talking with you guys.
All right, see you, man. Be
much,
safe.
Buster.
Hey, Mace, I want to get this in because I know we're jamming a lot into the show today. We're
yes.
only going to 4:30. You speculated what would happen during the national anthem in these NBA games.
Yes.
The national anthem just happened in Orlando for the game between the Jazz and the Pelicans. Every person on the court, player, coach, anyone given permission to go on the court, took a knee during the national anthem in front of the Black Lives Matter message on the court. They were all wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts, and TNT covered the anthem from start to finish. Normally, as I've told you guys before, in broadcasting, we cover up the anthem. In other words, we sell that time because we can. It's not action. And so, like, TV networks and radio networks don't carry the anthem normally. But today they did. I would expect, although I don't know, I would expect something similar with the Lakers and Clippers tonight. If you use this game as an example, the Jazz-Pelicans game as an example, incredibly powerful, incredibly in unison. Both, you couldn't even tell, Mace, I don't know if you had it on.
Yeah, I have it on.
You couldn't tell where one team started and the other one stopped. It was just 35 guys all in a row on a knee. So it was pretty powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, coming up next for you, you're going to do some Radio Tinder. Then we got Game of Games. Then we got Crosstalk with Michael Thompson and Alan Sliwa as we get ready for Lakers-Clippers tonight, 4:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip. John Ireland and Michael Thompson with the call right here on the home of the Lakers, 710 ESPN. Radio Tinder's next, 710 ESPN. All right, it is time for Radio Twitter. We'll let you know just one interesting nugget from the New Orleans Utah game, which is going on right now. The first bucket scored, ironically, by Rudy Gobert, who was patient zero, essentially, and got the league shut down. So Rudy Gobert and the NBA back in action. All right, it is Radio Twitter time. Lindsay's back from vacation. Lindsay, what do you got?
Or Radio Tinder and
yeah,
not Radio Twitter.
You can call it Radio Twitter if you
radio
want.
Radio Twitter, Radio yeah. Tinder.
Yeah, starting with the NBA because that's what's on everybody's mind right now.
Yep.
Yahoo Sports has partnered with the NBA to virtually bring fans inside the Disney bubble. The partnership will transport fans inside the ESPN Wide World of Sports complex for 13 seating games between now and mid-August via Oculus devices. The experience will include integrated fantasy basketball and sports betting content. Would you guys be interested in watching NBA games in VR? Swipe left or swipe right?
Yeah, I'm swiping right. I would love to watch in VR. I just think that stuff is unbelievable. John, have you ever had that Oculus on your head before?
Only once just to try it, and I thought it looked really cool. I actually think they're onto something there.
That would be friggin' crazy. So do you have to buy an Oculus? Oculus is a Facebook product, I think. Do you have to buy the Oculus in order to watch in VR, or how's that
work,
Lince?
It sounds like that you'll need one of the actual headset devices to be able to view in VR. But they said they have all kinds of other interactive stuff available in the Yahoo Sports app. So I don't know, maybe if they're trying to mix it up a little bit within the app, but it sounds like you'll have to have the actual device to watch the VR games.
Got it. Yeah, I would love that.
I would like to give it a try myself. I had the shark one when you're in the shark cage. That's the one that I tried.
So
when there's
nice.
A shark coming at you underwater, it's awesome.
So did you feel like there was a shark coming at you? Or?
Oh, yeah. It feels like the whole cage is shaking and everything because you have these gloves, too. It's awesome.
Jeez.
I love VR. All right, next one. Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson was named the NFL's number one player on NFL Network's top 100 players of 2020 list. The rankings were determined by votes from other NFL players. Russell Wilson, Aaron Donald, Patrick Mahomes, and Michael Thomas rounded out the top five. Do you guys think Lamar Jackson is deserving of the number one spot? Swipe left or right?
Well, he's the reigning NFL MVP. I'll swipe left, though. I would have put Aaron Donald number one because he plays a position in which you have to put three guys on him or you can't stop him. There isn't that much of a difference, Mace, between Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, and Patrick Mahomes. You'd be happy with any of them.
Yes.
What's the comp for Aaron Donald?
Yeah, I would swipe left also. Aaron Donald, I think, is the best player in the NFL right now. It's very close, obviously, between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I would like to see some postseason success from Lamar Jackson before we crown him best player in the NFL.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't even do anything in the playoffs. But, you know, as a Browns fan, I'm allowed to get mad about the Ravens. All right, next one. Lollapalooza will happen this year, but it's going to happen on YouTube. The set will stream from July 30th to August 2nd. More than 150 performances will be available during the four-day broadcast in a combination of past Lollapalooza sets and new live originals, according to the festival's website. This will mark the first all-digital performance in Lollapalooza history. How do you guys feel about watching these virtual concerts? Swipe left or right?
Swipe right. I mean,
I think a couple of weeks
couple of weeks ago, John, David Guetta did a show from, I want to say, the UK, somewhere in Europe. And it was like this gigantic EDM dance party thing. Watched it and thought it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, this is the future. This is our future for a while now. I love all those festivals. You know, we love Coachella and we love Bottle Rock and we love South by Southwest and all those festivals. They're all going to have to find a way to continue without people showing up at their events. So this is the future. And I will watch. I'll watch the acts I like.
I think that it's the only thing we have left. I don't know what a concert looks like if we don't get a vaccine. That Eagles concert that ESPN aired, they've re-aired it three times, and I keep finding myself watching it, even though I know what's coming, because it's the only thing we have.
Yeah,
I think that if you love music and you like concerts, you better get used to this because it's all what else are we going to do?
Yeah.
Swipe right.
All right, and last one really quick here. MTV announced the nominations for the 2020 Video Music Awards today. Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga led with 9 nominations each, including co-nomination for Video of the Year for Rain on Me. There are 2 new categories this year, Best Music Video from Home and Best Quarantine Performance. Can you guys think of a winner for either of these new categories? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, I haven't seen a lot of content produced in quarantine musically, Mace, have you?
I have not. I've seen a lot of Jason Derulo TikTok videos, but those aren't performances.
Oh, I thought you were going to pick that Gal Gadot Imagine video.
Oh, you know what? Imagine all the people living for today.
That was brutal.
Win both. Best music video from home
or
and
it could win nothing.
Performance. Hopefully that's not actually a thing moving forward.
The weird thing about this, and Rain on Me is a really good song. It's all over top 40 radio right now, Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande. But I haven't seen a video on MTV in a really long time. I mean, it seems like the only show they have is Real World Road Rules Challenge, which seems to be on constantly.
I'll take it a step farther. I don't know when the last time I had MTV on was.
Same.
Is there something on MTV that you watch regularly?
Juan loves Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Is Siesta Key on MTV?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay, somebody told me I should start watching that, but I haven't
yet. And I noticed
yet.
That is also DVR'd on our television.
Have you guys seen Ridiculousness or whatever?
No.
No, what's Ridiculousness?
It's almost like a, I don't know, World's Funniest Home Videos or something, dude. It's just like a blooper show. I don't know what it is, but it's highly rated, and it's almost like it's on 23 hours of the 24-hour
day. I guess
day.
The only place to see music videos now is YouTube, right? That's it. That's your
yeah,
spot.
I guess unless you watch late-night MTV. I don't know if they still do it that way, but that's the only time I ever saw a video.
That's where I saw the Lady Gaga video, and Ariana Grande was on YouTube.
Yeah, like 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. when there's nothing else on.
All right, there you have it. There is our Radio Tinder coming up next for you. Game of games. Ireland looks like...
I can lock it up if I win this game of games.
He's got a commanding 6-4 lead over me and Lindsay. It's my game today. Tomorrow's the last show day of July, which means I cannot catch John. But Lindsay, if you win today and tomorrow, you will tie John, and I will have a game of death to break that tie.
Pressure's on.
Game of Games is coming up next for you. We're working our way towards Lakers-Clippers. Pre-game is at 4:30. We're going to do some crosstalk with Michael Thompson and Alan Sliwa coming up at 4:15. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let me tell you about my friend Jacob Arani. So Jacob is, you see him on the billboards and you see him on the commercials. He's all over the place. And the reason he is because he's the biggest and the best. You hear other attorneys, you know, hey, I'm the guy. Jacob is the actual guy. If you are involved in any kind of accident, and people are just getting back on the roads now after the pandemic and they're not driving well, if you're involved in an accident or you're injured in some way, you want somebody on your side who is the guy. And the guy is Jacob Imrani. 24 hours a day, 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Or maybe you've got a case out there and the attorney has gone silent and you got no idea how to reach the attorney and you have no idea what's going on with your case. Jacob can dive into that and fix it for you and get you the settlement that you deserve. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Or remember the catchy jingle.
Accident.
Or injury, call Jacob Imrani. Call Jacob.com. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is officially game of games time, and Ireland has a lead here. If Lindsay doesn't win this game, it means Ireland will clinch the month of July. So, Lindsay,
not happening.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, and okay. I'm going to do everything humanly possible to make sure that John doesn't eliminate my streak.
I don't want to pull a Mason and forget where Trudell went to college or something. What's the game today?
Okay, the game is something, anything, everything.
Okay.
Which means all of these are your name is your buzzer. 10 questions, they can be about anything.
Okay.
So, Lindsay, you can play. Funch, you can play. You never know when it's going to be Funch Day. So here we go. Number one, who has more block shots than any player in Lakers history? Name is your buzzer. Nobody?
Funch. Has a Laker, right?
Yeah, has a Laker.
Cream.
Cream is correct. Funch is on the board.
That's who I would have guessed.
Well, then you should have.
He beat me to the buzzer.
I thought it was a trick question.
It was dead for 20 seconds there, Lindsay.
It took me a minute to process it.
I thought it was a trick
head,
question,
okay?
too.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to think about it for a second.
Number two, finish this phrase. As the expression goes, when you have a good thing that at first you thought was bad, it's called a blessing.
John.
Lindsay.
John.
In disguise.
In disguise is absolutely correct. Funch won, Ireland won, Lindsay yet to hit the board. Number three, what character does Tom Hiddleston play in the Avengers?
Funches. Loki.
Loki is correct. Yep, it's Funch 2, Ireland 1, Lindsay nothing. Next one, who was the third player that Joe Kelly almost hit.
John.
In the dot, John?
Carlos Correa.
Carlos Correa is the correct answer in Ireland. Ties up Funchess. It's 2-2. Lindsay, you have yet to hit the board. Next one. What streaming service can you watch Hamilton on?
John.
Lindsay.
I'm going to go Lindsay.
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus is correct. So Lindsay's on the board. Ireland 2, Funch 2, Lindsay 1. Scientifically, who has a higher pain threshold?
John.
Lindsay.
John.
Women.
Women is the correct answer. Men or women. Yep, women have a higher pain threshold. Lindsay, you should have gotten that one. In the 2020,
I did buzz in and you gave it to John, but okay.
Yeah, he beat you. In the 2020 college football season, what conference will Notre Dame be playing?
John.
John.
ACC.
ACC is correct. John taking a commanding 4-2 lead over Funch. Lindsay with a point.
How many are left?
Three more.
Three.
Okay.
You've almost clinched this thing.
All right.
Lake Superior, Lake Huron,
Lindsay.
Lake Michigan. Lindsay?
They're the Great Lakes.
That's not the question. Sorry.
Damn it.
Lake Superior, Lake Huron, Lake Michigan, and Lake Ontario, which of the five Great Lakes is missing from that list?
Lindsay.
You can't.
Lindsay,
you already
you can't
missed.
Buzz back in.
Okay, so give me the ones you gave again.
Superior, Huron, Michigan, Ontario.
Superior, Huron. Oh, God, what is it? I don't know.
I'm going to call time. Funch, do you have a guess or
Lindsay.
No?
No
Can
guess.
Can I guess?
No
if
guess.
Both
See,
you of don't, them guess wrong?
You
if
don't,
they both
no.
guess wrong, I get another guess,
no,
don't I?
No, you don't get another shot. You've used
okay,
your,
well, it's
your
Lake
buzzer.
Erie.
Oh, God.
It's Lake Erie.
God, how did I get that?
Yep. I know. All right.
So, Funch, you're still alive, but you need this last two. What Star Wars character said,
Lindsay.
Do... Yeah, Lindsay? Lindsay?
It's Yoda.
It's Yoda! Oh! Wow!
I was going to get Yoda, too. The do.
Yeah, do or
yeah,
do not,
figured,
there is no try.
Figured you'd get one word in by the time you said my name.
So John has clinched the game and clinched the month. We've got one last question. What is the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network better
John.
Known as? John?
ESPN.
It is ESPN, yeah.
Oh, my God. Where did you come up
Ireland,
with these questions?
Cleaning up. It is Ireland now 7 for the month. Lindsay 4, Mason 4. B-Cam won, Funch won, Brawny won, and we will play one game
hey,
tomorrow.
I won three.
Just for fun.
You know,
yeah, I'm sorry, did I say, yeah, Funch,
yeah,
you've got three.
Three.
I should win in July because that's my birthday month.
It is your birthday month. We let you win, John.
Yes,
there's
I'm
the
gonna,
secret.
I'm going to chalk that up as you guys
let you
letting
win.
Letting me win.
So let's get some final thoughts from you, John. John's going to bail early and head over to the studio where they will be calling Lakers-Clippers tonight. Some final thoughts from you on this game.
Okay, so in each one of these games, Lakers-Clippers, this is the fourth and final meeting. LeBron has gone up in points. Okay, he scored more points, including the last time they played where he scored 27 and AD had 30. LeBron has asserted himself more in each game. Now, Kawhi's been great in all three, but a couple of things to watch tonight. I think LeBron's going to be really aggressive. Also, Avery Bradley, in the game they beat, the Lakers beat the Clippers in, which was the Sunday before the shutdown.
Yeah.
Had 24 points, a season high, off the bench for the Lakers. Where are those points going to come from tonight? Is it Alex Caruso? Is it Deion Waiters? Is it J.R. Smith? Where do the Avery Bradley minutes go? Do you strictly give them to KCP and ride with KCP? Or do you see, like, what do you think, Mace? Do you think Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith play rotation minutes tonight?
I think Deion Waiters will play rotation minutes. I do not think J.R. Smith will play rotation minutes. Deion Waiters, I think, is going to be an important piece going forwards. I mean, you know, he scored 39 points combined in the three scrimmages, 16 of 33 from the field. And, you know, that's the one issue the Lakers have had all year long is what do they do offensively when LeBron is off the floor? Deion Waiters is a guy who can create his own shot. That's exactly what they need. I think we'll see Deion Waiters play serious minutes throughout this the seeding games and the postseason. JR has a shot to, shoot himself into a bigger role, but I don't see him as a rotation player. Do you?
I do, actually. I think by going 6 out of 7 from 3 in the last scrimmage, he bought himself some rotation minutes tonight. I think we're going to see him in the first half. But here's one more thing to look at.
Yep.
When you talk about the Lakers and the Clippers, and almost everybody thinks they're going to meet in the Western Conference Finals, the question is, who do the Clippers have who could potentially guard Anthony Davis? And the answer you hear the most often is Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
Now, Montrezl Harrell is not playing tonight. He's one of these 7 Clippers who, for whatever reason, left the bubble. And he hasn't cleared quarantine, so he's not playing. Ivica Zubac cannot guard Anthony Davis. So I think you're going to see tonight a lot of Jamichael Green. I think that he's going to be the one that they assign to guard Anthony Davis simply because they don't have anybody else. I think unless they try Kawhi on AD, Kawhi's an excellent defender, but he really doesn't have the height. They could do that, though, because they have Paul George to guard LeBron.
Sure.
But I think they're going to have to try some things with no Montrezl Harrell to slow down Anthony Davis, assuming AD plays, and I think he's going to. I think he's going to put on the James Worthy goggles, and he's going to play. So those are the things to watch. On offense, who gets the Avery Bradley minutes, and who picks up those 24 points he scored last time the Lakers beat the Clippers? And on defense, who guards Anthony Davis for the Clippers? I think that's a big question mark for them.
John, Lakers win?
I think so. I think if Anthony Davis plays, it's a win for the Lakers. And if they do, keep in mind, Mace, that they pretty much, I think they've got the number one seed already, but if they won tonight, they would be up by 6.5 with 7 games to go. And then if it's that lopsided, it buys Frank Vogel the right, if he wants to play all his starters limited minutes for the remainder of these 7 games.
Right,
I don't know if
right.
he would do it, but it buys him the option if the Lakers win tonight.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are going to win this thing by double digits tonight.
Well, you got a little mythical money going. So
yeah, I got 5,000 mythical dollars on the Lakers -4.5. By the way, I'm putting down a baseball parlay also while I've got it. $1,000 in mythical money on Dodgers, Padres, and Angels. All the Southern California teams, Dodgers, Padres, and Angels. Dodgers will play Arizona tonight. Ross Stripling on the mound versus
Strip
Robbie
day.
Ray. Strip day it is for the Dodgers, and we'll see if they can make it 5-2. John, have a great call of the game. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, talk to you guys tomorrow.
We'll talk about all of it tomorrow. Coming up next, going to go live to the studio where Alan Sliwa and Michael Thompson are getting ready for pregame. We'll do a little crosstalk with them. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. I want to announce that it is actually 4:15. It is not 6 o'clock, as that piece of production said. But still, there are 5 words that light up Los Angeles every time there is a Lakers pregame show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
It is Alan Sliwa. Alan, how are you, man?
Mace, I'm in the studio.
In the studio? Is MT with you?
No. MT is a couple studios away.
I'm reading about luxury yachts. Oh,
it's a good
Michael,
life.
Is that the next thing for you, is a luxury yacht?
No. I was looking at the one that Steve Jobs' widow, what's her name, Lauren Powell, I think her name?
Yeah.
She's on a 110-foot yacht in the Mediterranean. Must be
I'm
nice.
I'm not a big boat guy.
You're not?
A big boat guy. I get seasick. We used to have a boat in Sandusky, Ohio, where I bought my folks a house, and I constantly got sick on that boat. I will never be a boater.
How big was it?
It was probably a 60-foot boat.
A 60-foot yacht? Really? Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't a yacht. It was more of a fishing boat.
Oh. MT only does yachts. Yeah, MT only does yachts.
No, I'll go out on a fishing boat, from the Bahamas. I'll jump in a big old beat-up fishing boat. It's fun.
So, guys, we have gotten there. We have arrived after 4.5 months of not enough. We've got more than we can handle tonight. It is Lakers versus Clippers in the bubble. Michael, how you feeling?
Well, I'm excited that the NBA is back. I miss the fans. I miss being at Staples Center, one of the greatest arenas in the world, to watch basketball next to Doug Band and all those great Laker fans coming by to shake my hand. It made me cringe because then I have to use all my Purell. hey, I was ahead of the game, wasn't I, Mace?
When we come back, you're going to bring a bucket of pure.
No, no, no. Nobody's shaking hands anymore, Mace. Those days are over with.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. Those are over. You're going with the bow.
Yeah, with the
bow. I'm going with the elbow bump, which I see a lot. Sliwa, what are you going with?
Bow. I'm with the bow.
You're on the bow.
I'm all over the bow. But Mace, I wish you could see the setup in here because
yeah. Describe what, because I haven't been to the studio since early March.
Well,
what's it like inside that building?
Well, I'm on an island. You know the anchor booth. I might as well be in the middle of LA Live. But you got MT, and then eventually John will get here, and Doug Mann in the middle, and they're gonna call the game on a monitor. Like it's such a weird. This is obviously not anything any of us have gone through, and I know there's worse things in life, but just watching it, I'm now looking at Funches, the back of Funches' head. I'll be looking at the back of Bronstein's head. It's just that it's a completely different atmosphere, but like you were saying, Mace, man, can you imagine how excited Laker fans are just to get Lakers basketball back in the first matchup is against the Clippers? 4.5 months, and now we're here, so I'm sure it's a big moment for a lot of fans out there.
Yeah, you know, Michael, what did you think of J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters during those scrimmages, and how big do you think they figure tonight and as we move through seeding games in the playoffs?
Well, I really didn't think much because I expected them to play exactly the way they played. They're both scorers. They believe in shooting and looking to score points, whether they're coming off the bench or start. And they did a good job of it during the exhibition games, a couple of games. They are who they are, or as Dennis Green said, they are who we thought they were, and that's what they're going to continue to give the Lakers, is scoring and shooting.
Alan, what about you?
You know, I thought in that exhibition game, and I know, Mace, we talked about it after the Saturday and the Monday game, Deion Waiters, he could be a wild card for the Lakers. I mean, he could definitely be a player that fits a specific need. I mean, look, all season long, a lot of people, especially leading up to the trade deadline, talked about how the Lakers were missing two types of players. One was a player that can just kind of be that enforcer, that tough player. They got that in Markieff Morris. And the other one was a playmaker, someone that can go get a bucket on their own. And, you know, Mace, I know we got a chance to see this over the couple days. MT, you've watched Deion Waiters over his career. The guy's only 28 years old. I mean, if there's ever a player that has an opportunity at this stage of his career to make a name for himself, what a playoff run it could be for him.
Yeah, he kind of blew it down there in Miami with Pat Riley's leadership. So this is a chance for him for his fourth
or fifth.
Everybody
makes mistakes, Michael. Everybody makes mistakes.
Well,
I make that mistake, by the way, every night.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But there comes a time when you got to realize how blessed and fortunate you are to play in the NBA, because there are a couple of hundred guys in the G League would love to take his place. So now he's got a chance to redeem himself with a great franchise, the best franchise in all of team sports, playing with the best leader in team sports in LeBron, or one of the best. So I think this is a perfect place for him to be to salvage his career.
So no Montrezl Harrell, no Lou Williams. Michael, you heard about that. He went out for the lemon pepper wings, right? What did you think of that?
Well, you know, I mean, it was kind of silly to do. I understand his craving for wings. Who doesn't crave wings? But you got to understand that these are extraordinary times, and you know the rules, and you're not supposed to, you know, endanger yourself or put yourself at risk by being in mixed company. Now, I know he was around mixed company with his family when he went to the funeral, and, you know, he was going to get have to go to quarantine when he got back anyway, because once he left the bubble, you guys go back into quarantine. But to go to a so-called wing joint, you know, if you're going to do that, like I said, go to Buffalo Wild Wings or the Wingstop, you know, and stay in your car and order it from there. Can't you just go through the drive-thru if you wanted wings?
Right. Touchless delivery. It totally works. So the Clippers will be without Lou, without Montrezl Harrell. We don't know about Pat Beverly. He's going to be a game-time decision. Without Montrezl Harrell, how do the Clippers handle or at least mitigate the damage that Anthony Davis is going to inflict?
They don't. And they could have Montrezl Harrell. They could have Montrezl who's that singer? Montrell Griffin. Whatever. They could have whatever Monty Hall. They could have whatever Monty today. They ain't going to do nothing but with Anthony Davis. But they'll miss Montrezl Harrell's toughness on the inside, because right now all they have is Ivica Zubac for the big guys, the only big guy they got on the roster. So the Lakers' four big men of Davis, McGee, Howard, and LeBron should destroy the Clippers on the inside in the paint today. That should be the difference in the game today, just the Lakers dominating the lane.
Mace, we got some good news right here. Tony Ganguly just putting out, Frank Vogel says Anthony Davis will play and start.
Okay,
so
good.
Same starting lineup they used in that first scrimmage. Yeah, I mean, listen, the AD part, I don't think there's anybody that obviously can stop Anthony Davis, but for the Clippers, Montrezl Harrell is such a unique player that comes off the bench. A lot of times he comes in when Anthony Davis is on the bench, so that will hurt him. But one thing sticks out, you know, Mace, what Ireland was mentioning, this kind of puts everything in perspective in tonight's game. Get the W, you're 6.5 games in front with only 7 games to go. From this point on, the Lakers can just kind of strategize prepping for the playoffs. I got a feeling Lakers are going to take this one serious and try and get the W, even though they have such a big lead in the West.
Yeah, how hard do you go, Michael? You know, you basically locked up the number one seed for all intents and purposes. You're a win away from kind of locking it up. In your mind, how hard do they go? How much does LeBron play tonight? How much does AD play tonight? Are these tune-up games, or are they playing to send a message to everybody?
A little bit of both. Tune-up games to get ready for the playoffs. You got 8 games to play, but you got to go hard while you're there. Not going to play big minutes. LeBron and AD will probably go 32 minutes a night. But while you're on the floor, you got to compete as if you're in the playoffs, because if you go half speed or three-quarter speed is when you usually get hurt. So, and you got to have respect for your opponents. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George will be out there competing hard too, so you got to respect that and go hard yourself. So whoever's on the floor is going to play like the games mean something.
So, Michael, your partner on pregame and postgame is Alan Sliwa,
yeah,
who is not the most excitable guy. I mean, no. I always say, you know how he'd say,
"Hey, how you doing?"
Calm, cool, and collective.
That is Sliwa. Are you going to be able to ramp him up during this NBA restart and get some enthusiasm out of Alan Sliwa?
No, Sliwa, even when Sliwa was a kid and he saw Santa Claus coming down the chimney, he just yawned.
Hey, how you doing, Santa?
I told Santa, slow down, all right? Slow down. Get the front door. Use the front door.
Right. Hey, fat man, what are you doing?
That's right. You're interrupting my sleep.
All right. Well, guys, I will officially turn it over to you. It's finally here, the NBA restarting. We'll let you know that New Orleans has a 33-27 lead over Utah, 33-29 now, with 9 minutes and 40 seconds left in the first half. The second game is the one that we have been waiting for tonight, Lakers-Clippers, and you will hear it right here. Pre-game coming next for you. Mason and Ireland back tomorrow at 2:55 sharp. We will react to everything that happens tonight in the bubble. Go Lakers. Mason and Ireland. We'll turn it over to pregame, 710 ESPN.